The best in regional sports from Southeast Michigan. WLEN HD2 W243 AD. Adrian 96.5 The Cave.
It's 6 o'clock, and it's time for Saints Sports Weekly. Hello again, everyone. My name is Pat Hayes, sitting in for Jeff Bowman tonight. And, of course, we always have Hall of Fame coach Fred Smith with us. And, Coach, welcome into the show again tonight.
Yeah, I always enjoy Monday nights at down here at the Cave, you know. And
all right.
We've got some beautiful cheerleading coaches and student-athletes here, so we're so lucky, huh?
We are, and we're going to be talking about competitive dancing here tonight. And with us in studio, we have the coach for the dance team, and that is Nikki Brown. And Nikki, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you. I was going to say good morning, but we're a little past that, aren't we?
We are just a little
evening.
Bit past that. But now, we were talking before we went on the air, and very interesting about dance. You know, I told you I absolutely knew nothing about it, and you filled me in pretty well in a short period of time. But first of all, Nikki, we want to find out your background and how you came to become the dance coach.
Well, I know we only have an hour, so I'll probably summarize it. So I was actually one of the first inaugural dancers in 2012. Miss Angie Heath, our mayor, actually, was my coach and came and started our program. And I auditioned, got a part, and the rest was history. And then I never left Siena. So I stayed in admissions and stayed local. And then when they separated the dance and cheer teams, I had a really great relationship with the current cheer coaches. We competed together, Liz and Anthony, and they said we would really love to have Nikki. We already work well together. She knows what she's doing. And so I came back year one.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
And so how many dancers were on that first team?
Oh, we had eight.
Eight?
And we were all competitive at the time, but
yeah,
we really didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess tell us about what competitive dance is.
So in our division, in the NAIA division, we actually are very different from other dance competitions. Most dance competitions, you specialize in a style. So your team might dance a hip-hop routine, which means from start to finish, it's hip-hop or jazz or a full palm routine. And in NAIA, we have the luxury, I like to say, doing all three styles in the same routine. So we have to dance jazz, palm, and hip-hop and compete against other NAIA schools doing the same. So it's both very challenging because you could put together a really great hip-hop routine and have, you know, 15 great hip-hoppers, but when you split the styles, you might have five that are great at hip-hop and maybe their strong suit isn't palm, so you've really got to elevate everybody to the same level. And so we have to compete at least four times, no more than 10. They average our scores. We compete during our conference. And so there's two different ways for us to qualify for nationals.
So you have judges that are there that actually give you scores,
correct,
right?
Yes.
Do you find out those scores right away?
Right away, yes, because you do have an opportunity to dispute. So there is a judge that will judge based off of deductions, and then you can go back and look and see if the deduction was actually a deduction. So
okay,
a deduction would be, we have something called a team sequence. We all have to start a turn sequence on the same count and end it on the same count, and everybody has to be uniform. And the deduction judge could say that somebody stepped out early or somebody didn't complete that. And if I feel that that's not accurate, I can appeal. And then there's a lot that happens behind the scenes with that.
Yep.
And if we get the appeal, then that deduction is removed. If we don't get the appeal, we have to pay a little fine. Totally worth the money if we, you know, if we stand behind what that deduction is. But yeah, there's a lot to it. It's a very subjective sport. So sometimes it could be really hard going in knowing what they're looking for in a team. And we have to have at least six dancers on the floor, and we can't have more than 16. So some teams will have a really large team and some will have a smaller team, and you really don't know what to expect. You know, some score higher than others. You can't mind read. You just got to practice and hope that you're doing what they want to see.
So how many How many officials or scorers do you have? Is it the same amount for every competition?
It's not. So what they do is we will have judges based off of how many teams we have. So if we only are bringing 3 to 4 teams, we'll have probably 3 judges and then 1 deduction judge. Mm-hmm. You always have 1 separate judge doing deductions, and that's all they're looking for. If you have regionals or our conference, they'll probably have a good 4 or 5 judges plus the deduction judge there. So more teams, the more judges. But it's never really the same. It depends on where you go.
Fred, I know you know all about this. So come on in here.
I've witnessed it. I've seen all the competitions, and I can attest what a great athlete Nikki was when she was here. And I want to just go back to 2012. And back then... for our audience, Coach Heath or Angie, she was in charge of it all, and she usually had a GA or maybe somebody that specialized in dance. And as the sports were together and they needed to be separated, you see, and they have been. And then eventually, I know this is a big day even for Coach to have a dance coach. But getting back with you, how successful were your early teams?
I think our first year was a big challenge for us because we had, it was a brand new team.
Yes.
Obviously, we competed against other teams that have already gone to NDA. I mean, we went down to Daytona. That's where the best teams, the best of the best go. Mm-hmm. And the experience was incredible. I would like to say, honestly, that we were really out of our league.
Right.
And I think creating the NAIA division allowed us to kind of fall into a better bracket.
Find
of
a niche.
Where,
yeah.
Correct. Yeah, so we actually won regionals the first year that we broke out in NAIA.
Wow.
And went to nationals. Mm. And then that third year was my senior year, and unfortunately I was not eligible because I had too many credits. So I wasn't able to compete, but they also went to nationals that year. So pretty successful. I think the overall rubric of what is required is growing. Dancers are excelling their turn sequences, their leaps, their potential, which means the team gets better, which means now the challenges are higher. So overall, as a sport, it's becoming very, very, very competitive, and it's becoming harder for the dancers to be able to be a competitive dancer because they have to come with certain skill sets or they have to be able to get to that level.
You really can't. It's hard to develop them.
Really hard. Yeah. If you didn't grow up doing technique, that's probably one of the hardest things to come in and just pick up.
So, during your time, and you've been connected these last 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's been
12
years. Thanks, Rod.
It seems like our dance team over the years was always very competitive. I know we went to nationals a lot of times and whatnot, but the big problem with Angie was, trying to do everything, right? And so it's so great now that you're here and full-time developing your dance program, so to speak, now. But ideally, how many dancers do you want competitive-wise? And I know I see you still do some sideline stuff. In other words, you... appear for at football games, mm-hmm. whatnot. So where do we stand right now?
I like where we are for my first year. I think this was the perfect number. I think we already are competing more than they did last year. So it looks fuller. You add 3 more dancers, it changes the dynamic completely. I know that the goal is to double the team. We can't compete more than 16 competitive dancers, right. But does that mean that we can only have 16? No. We'll have some that will, know the dance, and then if there's injuries, we can substitute them in, mm-hmm. things like that. So we have the potential to have a larger team. It's a matter of making sure we have the space to accommodate. You're turning around each other, so we need to make sure that we have plenty of space so that we don't have any injuries. And I think I really don't know what I envision because we're already bigger than I'm used to. So now I'm just trying to keep it modestly large.
Well, you know, just looking at your roster, you are a pretty young team. You have a lot of freshmen,
yes,
sophomores. You have one senior I see on the, on the roster.
We're losing two seniors, one competitive and one sideline, and I have five sophomores. So, we are going to be really strong next year and the year after. We're already really strong with what they bring to the team. But, you know, just the more that we fill in at the bottom with those new freshmen coming in, and then coming in with the skills that you need, we're just going to really have nowhere but up to go, I think.
You know, when I think of a dance team, sometimes I see a little bit of gymnastics or something in it. But do you do any of that? You don't, do you do any lifts or any acrobatic type things? It's just dance?
So we do things like Miss Kaya here, we do aerials, which is a no-handed cartwheel. You can do front, right, left. We do some head springs. There are a lot of hip-hop tricks that you can do. We do have some in our competitive routine. There are a lot of regulations for our competitive season, though, and there's a lot of tumbling that we're not allowed to do. There's kind of, you know, there are a few loopholes that if you're touching this person who's got their foot on there, you know, there's a lot of little things in there. But for the most part, we keep our feet on the ground unless we're doing some type of a trick. But we do have some members that can tumble and do backhand springs and things of that nature.
So since 2012, you've probably seen a lot of changes over the years with dance.
Yes. Well, you know, I didn't really know the behind the scenes as a dancer. I just showed up and, you know, nice protein breakfast with my gear, and I was just ready to dance, and that was the only thing I was thinking about. And now as a coach, I mean, there's a lot behind. I mean, I've been planning with Coach Liz all of the logistics of our competitive, our one home comp that we have January 26th, but you start planning it early. You've got to get your judges. You've got to get your logistics. It's a lot of work, a lot of work. And I have to do all of that so that when they show up, they don't have to worry about anything except to compete.
Sure.
So.
Well, talk, you know, about your background. When you mentioned you came and you tried out. So what was your background in dance, Nikki?
When I first started, I really, my style is hip hop. I have just this natural ability to pick up the rhythm. I was trained in tap, and I was actually a majorette, so I twirled, and I did some gymnastics. So I was a little bit of everything growing up, you know, the jack of all trades, master of none. So when I joined the team, I did not have the technique that you are required to have now, but I had some amazing dancers on the team. I'll throw a shout out to Maddie Suave. Yeah, she's in Florida coaching the Gators, so I'm pretty sure she's not listening. But she was.
Is that where she's at now?
She's coaching the Florida Gators, yes.
Oh, man.
I know.
So awesome.
We're going to do an alumni series on her because she's just made me so proud as a friend.
She was a very talented.
But she was the reason that I was able to pick up some of that technique and compete. So
where are you from?
I'm from here.
Did you go to, you went to high school?
I did, Adrian High School. Yeah, shout out Maples.
That's it. And that's just great.
And we didn't have dance.
Yeah.
So I was a varsity cheerleader at Adrian.
Right.
Yep. All 4 years.
That is so cool.
And I see you have a couple of Adrian people on your team.
Well,
one
Adrian,
from Madison,
Madison,
one from Madison. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's great to see too.
Yes.
But you have them from far away too, from Paraguay.
Yes. Yep. Miss G she's a junior, so she's got one more year with us, and she's one of our international. She's probably, I'm gonna say, the heart of the team. She's really involved. She's actually our homecoming queen. So she's just involved in everything, and she truly does hold dance with everything else that happens on campus.
And a lot of these athletes are from Michigan. I see one from Ohio.
You know, I think that's something that the dance being separate from cheer, you know, recruiting cheer is very different than recruiting dance, and you have to find them in different areas. And Ohio is big for their high school dance. They have a lot of POM. They do a lot of their competitions. They go to DTU. They do a lot. And that's something that we lack in Michigan. You have to go pretty far. There's one really great recruit event here in Michigan that that I went to in October, and but we have, I mean, we really don't have a strong dance background here in Lenawee, which is something. One of my things that I do also is the POM for the summer program. We do a volunteer POM with Christina Kidney, who I'm sure everybody here knows.
Oh yeah,
she's the majorette, and I do the POM section of it, that's pretty much the most I've seen of having any type of POM related. I think that cheer has a really good opportunity to move into that and compete in that, but sometimes it's hard to get cheerleaders to want to dance. Or they think they can't, and you have a dancer come in and say, nope, yes you can.
So in the conference now, how many teams participate in dance?
We're supposed to have 8.
Okay, that's good.
However, with Concordia being ending, so they're going to be leaving our conference. And unfortunately, we just learned of another team. They took cheer and dance off of NAIA roster. LTU.
Really?
That's
surprising.
Yep, they've just moved cheer and dance down to club. And for whatever reason, it's supposed to be beneficial to them this year, but that means that we won't compete against them. Right. So this year's going to be interesting to see. We're going to travel down to Marion and compete, and I think we'll be able to hit some of those more southern teams, and then we'll compete against Madonna quite a few times. Our conference will be at Aquinas, and so we're going to be hitting a lot of the same teams, Lourdes, and so on. And I think
Aquinas
Marion
has always been kind of a big rival.
Aquinas is 100% our goal target.
You got that circled around the calendar.
Yes, but again, they're going to keep us better, you know. Yeah. We want to compete against the best of the best.
Yeah. Do you think the reason they're dropping is because of numbers?
You know, I don't know. It's being a new coach, it's something that I support all of the other coaches. I wait for the information to come to me. And when she canceled our conference, we were supposed to go to them, and she canceled that and let us all know that, you know, this is what's happening. I didn't think to ask. My guess is previously it has been an inconsistency in having that team. You have to have 6 to compete or you get deducted. So maybe that was an issue. Injuries, I mean, there's a lot that come to play. Will they be back in the future? My hope is yes, but I don't know.
Go ahead.
In my research before the program, I was looking up some of the information on your team. And I noticed that last year you were one of, I think, quite a few teams from Siena Heights to win the Scholar Team Award for 23-24. All of your athletes had to have at least a 3.33 grade point average, and that says a lot about your team.
Yeah, they work very, very hard. I don't think we have one competitive dancer so far. They're doing their finals as of right now.
Right now, doing their finals,
but at midterms, we didn't have anyone under a 3.30. Yeah. Even our new freshmen came in, and they hit the ground running. So
out of your group that's 13 that I see on the roster, and I see some that say, so do you do some? I see once in a while where you may do a routine or something at a, I saw you in football or in basketball. So what's that like? Do you have some people that just do that and then are not, and that are not on the competitive group?
Yes. So
very similar to cheer?
It's very similar to cheer. What happens is during football season, so you are not allowed to start your routine at a specific, you know, the 24-week schedule.
Right.
So everyone in NAIA, your week starts when you start working on your competitive season. So we don't learn our competitive routine until usually the first or second week of October, and that triggers our 24-week schedule. So leading up to that, all of our comp dancers are technically sidelined.
Right.
So everyone dances at the football games. We all learn the same routines. We're all out there on the track, and we all practice twice a week together for that entire time until that splits off. And once that splits off and it becomes your sideline and your competitive, and again, that's the skills that are separating the two genres of dancers. And
we have to take a break, though, but we're going to be back to talk about competitive dance with Coach Nikki Brown. And we'll be talking to the captain of the team coming up next here on our Saint Sports Weekly. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Nurses, where would we be without you? Thank you for your compassion, knowledge, and commitment to our health. Did you know Siena Heights University offers flexible continued education for nurses? Through our online program, an RN interested in specialization, leadership, or a pathway to an advanced practice can pursue a master's degree. The online RN to MSN program offers 7-week sessions you can fit into your schedule. Enroll now and be on your way when classes start in January. Learn more at siennaheights.edu.
Siena Heights University in Adrian, Michigan offers online bachelor's and master's programs designed to fit your busy schedule. The online MBA program is available to students with degrees in various disciplines and does not require the GRE or GMAT testing for admissions. Designed to be flexible, convenient, and focused on ethical and sustainable business practices. Learn more at siennaheights.edu. Again, that's siennaheights.edu.
Nurses, where would we be without you? Thank you for your compassion, knowledge, and commitment to our health. Did you know Siena Heights University offers flexible continued education for nurses? Through our online program, an RN interested in specialization, leadership, or a pathway to an advanced practice can pursue a master's degree. The online RN to MSN program offers 7-week sessions you can fit into your schedule. Enroll now and be on your way when classes start in January. Learn more at siennaheights.edu.
And welcome back into Saints Sports Weekly. Pat Hayes along with Fred Smith tonight, and we're talking competitive dance. And right now we're going to welcome into the studio the captain of the team, Kaya Robinson. Kaya, welcome to Saints Sports Weekly.
Thank you so much for having me.
Is this your first time?
Yeah.
All
I
right.
did the winter preview at ZZ's earlier in the year, but this is my first time at a real radio station.
Glad to have you. So tell us about your experience at Siena Heights with the dance team. All and right. where you came from and how you got started.
All right. So I've been dancing. I think I started when I was really little. I took a little break to try some other things. My mom was the type of person where you try everything. I did karate, yep. basketball, everything. And then I settled on dance when I was 12. I started competing when I was 13. And then I competed up until my senior year, started looking for colleges. And I'm also a musical theater major. So I was going looking for schools for theater. And I went to the Michigan Thespian Festival that was held in Lansing my senior year, and I auditioned. I got my scholarship offer from the theater department, and then I was reached out to from the coach at the time, Coach Elizabeth Teague, and she had known that I'd wanted to do dance. I put it on my sheet. I was like, I wanted to do dance team, period. And so I took my tour. I was able to sit in with the team and sit in on a practice, and I signed later that year, and this is my third year on the sideline and competitive team, first year as captain. I've had nothing but great experiences. I'm a 2-time second team all-conference dancer, and last year I was a second team All-American.
Wow, so, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I've definitely had some amazing experiences at Siena.
And what's your goal this year?
First team All-American,
of
course.
And what high school did you come from?
I went to Sterling Heights High School.
Okay, all right. So you had a lot of, that's where it all started then?
So no, I actually only did dance team for a year at my high school because I did studio dance. And with studio dance, it was just really hectic. We had competitions almost every weekend. And when you're in studio dance, you do more than one dance. I was competing about 6 dances, group, and then a vocal solo, an acting solo, a dancing solo, and a duet. So it was just a lot to kind of juggle both. So I ended up taking a step back from dance team at my school and just did competitive dance through my studio.
Okay.
So you've done a lot of theater in your life.
Yes,
too.
Yes.
So how early did you start that?
Also at my studio. Right. We were Anita's Elite Dance in Sterling Heights, Michigan. We are a performing arts studio. So gotcha. We do dancing, singing, and acting. And the first show that I was a part of was Charlotte's Web the Musical.
Oh, wow.
I was Wilbur when I was 12 or 13. And then I just kept going from there. I actually transferred high schools to be a part of a better theater department. where it's actually built into the curriculum. So my last 2 hours of the day, where you'd normally have class, I was doing theater. And so we learned about the tech parts, the all of the ins and outs of all of it. And I was Miss Hannigan and Annie. I did SpongeBob the Musical. And then my senior year, I was Sophie in Mamma Mia, which is one of the leads. Yeah. So, and then I came to Siena, and it all just went up from there.
Are you involved in productions at Siena?
Yeah. So last year, I was actually the lead in 42nd Street.
Oh, wow.
I was Peggy Sawyer. And I was also Ophelia in Hamlet. And then this year I was able to direct my own show. We have a directing class at Siena where we get to pick, pay for, and completely have full control over our own show. Wow. And that just went up a couple weeks ago. So it was super fun.
Have you done anything at the Croswell here?
I actually just did my first show at the Croswell in October.
Kidding.
Yes, I was a part of Young Frankenstein.
Oh, cool.
So if anyone saw that, I was the tap dancing shadow.
All right. Great. So you've had a lot of experience.
Yes.
So where do you want to take this?
I hope to try out for the Detroit Lions cheerleaders after college.
Okay.
Funny enough, they're cheerleaders, but they are dancers. Yeah, and so that
I saw them during halftime.
Yes.
They came out. Yeah.
So that's one thing I want to do. The goal is to one day own my own dance studio and hopefully teach some theater on and off. I know I've told my old high school director, if you ever want me to come back, I will help out a little bit.
So you want to teach the younger kids or a little older?
Well, right now I'm actually teaching at Encore in Adrian.
Okay,
I have my own group of kiddos, actually a large group of kiddos and adults, because I also teach adult tap. And I love that. I love teaching the kids. It just is... if you're having a bad day, you come in, it might be crazy, but it's just a breath of fresh air to just be with all of the kids. There's just so much energy. So I love teaching kids, but I would also like to kind of teach older as well, just to kind of get that experience to where I can do both maybe one day.
Yeah.
Talk about being captain. Is that something you aspired to? Or
I did, yes. We had an amazing captains my freshman year, Sierra Tennyson and Liv Fortress, who Liv is now our assistant coach. She's a volunteer coach at Siena. And so they really kind of paved the way for what a captain should be.
Right.
And I know I'm competitive captain, and then we have sideline captain Ayanna Johnson, and we both really saw what they did as captains, and I think it pushed us both to be not only just better teammates so we could be captains, but just better teammates in general. And so, I think when I got here and I saw what they did and what they were capable of, I was like, I want to do that one day. And my junior year, here we are.
So what is your leadership style?
As captain, what we do as captains, we're kind of right now figuring it all out just because it is our first year, just kind of seeing where we lie on leadership. But right now it's really just kind of helping out, making sure that everything is being put out the way it's supposed to be, helping coach out, because we know she has a million things in her brain, and so if we can even help just a little bit, that's one of my biggest things. And also just keeping spirits bright on the team, keeping everybody going, making sure everybody's pushing themselves, and keeping each other accountable.
You know, and having coached 30 years, leadership, team culture, and all that is very close to my heart. And there's so many different ways to do it. Now, and I'm going to, just speak for a minute, but if you've ever watched Coach Izzo's teams, all right, probably one of the greatest coaches in the history of our state, right? Well, Coach really wants his seniors to be very or as captains, to be very, how do I want to say, to kind of tell people what to do. You see what I mean? And you see that at practice. Where me as a coach, I just want our captains to be there. But it's interesting because they take pretty much, responsibility of all that. I mean, it's another way of doing things. And there's another way of just being supportive, And, some people, you don't want to be a know-it-all, but on the other hand, you want to, be, like you say, a helper. So that's always a difficult and a slippery slope.
Yes.
Especially if, you know, if you're one of the better people, which obviously you are. So I don't mean to, you know, that's why we ask a lot of those questions. But how do you find time to do everything, though?
You know, a lot of trial and error, I think. I mean, I have always been the type of person where I, like, chalk my schedule full of stuff. I'm a work-study student as well, so I work in student engagement at Siena Heights. So all of the events and everything that happen, I work those and I help out with those. And, I mean, in high school, I was... My mom owns a salon in Shelby Township, Michigan, so I was working as a receptionist there and also party princessing at another in Michigan as well. So I have always been a busy person, but that's, I think, where I thrive, is being busy.
Yeah, I remember my late mother-in-law always said, the busier you are, the more you get done, you know? And I thought, how does that write? Well, I understand what she meant now, you know? And, Coach, you know, I don't mean to slip and go back to you for a second, but you've been kind of a face of our dance program for the last lot of years. You've been around. You're always so positive. Every time you see you know, it's just the way you are. But now you're the boss, okay? And what I mean by that, you're in charge of it. What was your biggest adjustments in terms of taking the role as head dance coach?
You know, first of all, thank you. I dance saved my life. You know, I was a first gen college student. I was a mother, you know, when I went to college. And so joining dance, I found my passion, and I never, you know, I've been waiting in the wings silently for that job to open up. Cause that's what I've wanted since I danced on that team. I think right now my obstacles, I have to learn the fine line between being assertive and being aggressive as a coach. Mm-hmm. And I am neither. Sometimes I can be very avoidant, and I just want everybody to be happy. And you know what I'm just that person. And I've never really taken a leadership role so seriously, first of all, because the success of the team is dependent on my success as a coach. But I'm learning the more we move forward that me pushing them is not pushing them away. It's pushing them towards being better. Mm-hmm. And so I think, and I am lucky enough to have such a strong, outspoken group of females at this point. We don't have any males on our team, but they're not hesitant to sit me down and say, Coach, we need more.
Right.
And so with it being a brand new team, me coming in being a brand new coach, we're still working out everything out. And I'm hopeful that we're moving in the right direction. Mm-hmm. I did maybe come in and expect for, you know, bells and whistles the first year, like, woo, hit my recruit numbers, everything's perfect, we made nationals, the end. But, you know, I live in this glitter bubble that sometimes you have to pop. And so I think I'm still working through those. And it's, like I said, it's a lot of work behind the scenes. Yeah. And I also live in this world where I'm a little controlling, and I feel like if I don't do it, it doesn't get done, and I need to delegate. And I think that's where Kaya says, you know, we're still trying to figure out, as my assistant coach and my captains, what I can gently hand off to take off of my plate and know that it will happen. So it is a lot of work.
I know. You got to find your identity. You got to find what that chemistry is going to be. And it sounds like you're on your way to that, but you're not quite there.
I don't feel like I'm quite there. I may never feel like I'm quite
there. No, I will. That's true.
I talk to a lot of coaches.
You're going to change all the way through, but... Just advice. Just be. You got to be yourself. You got to be authentic.
Authentic, yes.
And because young people, I say kids now because I'm 70, but they see right through that anyhow.
Very much so.
If you're not really true, and if you're not a person of your word. But on the same token, we do know that, and the most valuable things I ever learned as a coach was when I did my master's in counseling. I'll be truthful. It helped me more than I'd ever think. And what I learned so much was how every young person is different. Some young people need to be challenged. Some, they need to know why.
Mm-hmm.
Some people just need to be pushed in this direction and let's go. Other people they'll want to know, well, why do we pregame at this time, or why do we do this? Why, you know, and that you have to be able to meet all those needs. So that's understanding the psychosocial makeup of your team. And some guys, you know, I could really get on. Other guys, I would make them, they'd be hurt, you know. And so you have to figure that out. And that's all right. They say you treat everybody the same. You treat the team the same.
Yes.
And that's, and you'll figure all that out.
That's probably why I'm grateful to only have 13 for right now. So yeah. I can get used to it.
Well, and the thing is you know, you guys have such a great tradition that, and you just remember, you know, just don't ever take yourself too seriously. And I just feel bad that when I see some coaches, and, you know, I'm talking about the old Michigan-Ohio State game, and I have to bring this up, you know, where the guy from Ohio State, I felt sorry for the guy. I'm a big Michigan fan. When he was talking the week of, comparing the death of his father to losing the game is one of the most toughest things that ever happened to him. And I'm saying, come on, buddy. Family is a whole lot different. So we can't take ourselves too seriously and realize that all we can do is enjoy the journey, and you're going to adjust the journey in the next 20-odd years.
Every single day.
You know? Yeah. I don't mean to get off on this, but this is something that's so important to me is when I was AD and coach, and you're going to be a natural there. Speaking of that, routine-wise, I got to switch. So how do you pick this routine? Do you hire a choreographer? Do you do it yourself? Or how do you figure out what are we going to do?
I think it depends on who you are. I hired a choreographer because I know my weaknesses and my strengths. One of the great things about coming in is I do love to choreograph. So I did do a lot of our football routines, but I also know the girls love to have some creative license in that as well.
Yeah, they want to be involved.
Yeah,
right?
So we tap into them for one of our freshmen, Kaylee. She is excellent at choreographing all of our recruit dances, so we bring in recruits to dance with us.
No kidding.
And she does those, and they get to see her face and connect with her, and she's going to be on the team for the next 4 years, so it's a really good relationship builder. But for our competitive routine, yes, we pay someone to mix our music.
Yeah.
And we paid a choreographer from Toledo.
That's what I've heard. You know, that's why I ask.
She came in. This is the first year she's choreographed for us. I have. She used to be a Pistons dancer, and I worked with her in the past. And she came in and she gave us a fire routine. So she did a really good job. She will definitely be tapped into. And her coaching style is also something that I need to bring in. I knew my dancers would connect with her because she's such a holistic person, and she really does coach and believe in the things that I believe in. Our values are very similar. And so I knew that my dancers would connect with her and relate to her. And she's close, so she has no problem coming back and helping us. And we call it cleaning our choreography and kind of seeing things that we've changed and seeing how she feels about it. So we were lucky to have her.
One of the questions I have, and we've talked about this several times with athletes that come in here, nutrition. Do you have a program through nutrition that the girls or the guys are involved in?
We do not have a nutrition. I think the reason that I do have a background in nutrition, but I also know that they're all very different. They have that basic, we do a lot of the workouts and we do a lot of flexibility and training in a smart way because we train different than other, even cheer, you know, and that's why sometimes having cheer and dance together can be difficult because your cheerleaders need to be very strong and we need to be very strong in our muscles and lower body. And, you know, it's a very different type of momentum that we're moving as far as nutrition is concerned. You know, we really do focus on, I have a diabetic on the team, so we keep snacks in there for her, and we make sure that we're, you know, checking in with her. When we do our football tailgates, we make sure that there's something for everyone. We check on, you know, are there any allergies? Lucky we don't have a lot of allergies on the team. We also don't have any specialty, you know, vegan or vegetarian, so we can all eat together. But for the most part, most of them live on campus, so they do get that nutrition there. And I mean, Kaya lives in the apartments, so she cooks for herself a lot with her roommates. And so they know how to eat smart. Is it something that I would be willing to introduce as we move forward? 100%, because I do think it's valuable. And I spend a lot of time paying attention to my own nutrition and my own protein intake. But as of right now, it hasn't been a problem. And I haven't had anyone come to me and feel like they aren't getting the proper nutrition.
We got to take a break here, but we're going to be back with our final segment. We're talking about competitive dance with head coach Nikki Brown and also the captain, Kaya Robinson. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Saint Sports Weekly.
Concerned about unpredictable rising college tuition costs? Siena Heights University is taking a bold step to remain affordable. The Siena Tuition Advantage Plan means more price certainty, including potentially one tuition price during your time at Siena. A Catholic university located in Adrian, Michigan, Siena Heights also offers scholarships in academics, athletics, and the arts. Find out what the Siena Tuition Advantage is all about today by visiting siennaheights.edu. That's the Siena Effect.
Looking to move your career forward? By going back to school, you're investing in your future, and Siena Heights University in Adrian, Michigan wants to help you. We know you're busy. From raising a family to building a career, you may not have much free time available. From associates to bachelor's to master's degrees, our classes are designed so you can work and manage home life while earning your degree. Let Siena Heights University help you take the next step. Learn more at siennaheights.edu. Again, that's siennaheights.edu.
Nurses, where would we be without you? Thank you for your compassion, knowledge, and commitment to our health. Did you know Siena Heights University offers flexible continued education for nurses? Through our online program, an RN interested in specialization, leadership, or a pathway to an advanced practice can pursue a master's degree. The online RN to MSN program offers 7-week sessions you can fit into your schedule. Enroll now and be on your way when classes start in January. Learn more at siennaheights.edu.
And you're back into Saint Sports Weekly. On this edition, we're talking competitive dance with head coach Nikki Brown and Kaya Robinson, the captain of the team. And let's continue our discussion of the dance team and your competitions that are coming up. Maybe we should talk about that. I know after the first of the year, you really get into it heavy.
Yes. My team leaves me for Christmas break, and they're gone for 3 weeks. And, you know, again, my values are family, and I am happy that we all get this, you know, peace. They worked so hard, and my biggest fear is not really, it's not a fear. I have to have faith that they come back just as strong as we left, because we're just getting to a place where things are coming together, and now we're separate for 3 weeks, and not everybody has the ability to do some of the things that are necessary because they don't have the space and to work on technique at home. So
so there can be a little bit of rust when they come back.
Yeah, we've got to, and I, you know, how do we clean that off in a safe way so that we don't injure them when they get back?
Right.
And we get back on the 3rd, and we 15 days later is our first competition.
And you let them go this week, right?
They're done. We haven't had a Friday was our last competitive practice.
Whenever we're done with our finals is when we head back.
Take off. Yes, we have our Christmas party tonight. And then they're free birds, but they have workouts that they have to do.
So where's the Christmas party?
We're going to go to ZZ's and bowl.
Okay.
Do some Secret Santa.
There you go.
Yes, I was going to take them skating, and then I realized I don't want to put my competitive dancers on skaters.
Yeah.
So maybe end of the year party.
You know, I got to laugh. I got to tell a quick story. When I was coaching, this is a long time ago now, but the guys just loved co-ed volleyball. You know, it was just a fun thing to do. And most coaches would never let their guys play. And I always let them play because I thought, you know, they had fun, you know. But looking back, if I was at a D1 or whatnot, we would have never allowed them to do that, right? But they had so much fun playing with their friends and all that. It's hard, though, to
I cannot certainly sacrifice one of these competitive girls for a fun day of skating.
So who in our conference, and I'll ask this guy, who do you think are, you know, how do you think we're going to have a pretty good team, and who's our biggest competition?
I think we have a great team this year. We have a really good group of really hardworking girls who like to build each other up, hold each other accountable. We are making sure that we are getting to where we need to be as a group. I think our two biggest competitors this year are going to be Madonna and Aquinas, and it is what it was last year. It is the same for me every year.
The Felicians and the Dominicans.
There you go.
I feel like with Aquinas, you know, there's such a big group, and that's almost like what we aim to hit. But then with Madonna, they're so much closer to us in size. So it's like it's closer in size, so it's closer in technique. It's closer in style. And so it's really just like neck and neck with us. Last year, we were first and second, every competition between us two. So it was like all year long, it was the battle of us. It was Madonna and Sienna. So
when will you see, at the 18th is the...
We go to Madonna on the 18th.
Right, yeah. Yep. And then the 26th is the Halo.
Is our home.
Which is the big invitational.
And that right now is just us
right
and Madonna,
now, yeah. So again, we losing some of the teams that we're losing. You know, Concordia doesn't have to compete as much. This is their last hurrah, and I think that they're just dancing for the love of it, which is great for them. But they are not going to push themselves any harder than they have to.
Right.
So we may be having a duel against Madonna during our competition. Mm-hmm. And if we have another team come, that's excellent.
Are there any dance teams in Indiana in the Crossroads League? Many of them, you know, said Marion.
St. Francis. We're going to go down to Marion on the 8th. That just changed for us. And Indiana Tech is supposed to be coming into our conference.
How about the old Chicagoland League and St. Xavier?
So that's the thing that I used to remember when I was there. And again, I was tunnel vision when I was in competitive, so I almost don't remember who we competed against. But I know, Point Park came to us at one point.
And that was a very theatrical
school. I swear Xavier came up to us one time.
We competed against St. Xavier last year at regionals.
Yeah.
And Point Park. But Point Park actually, because they transferred into a D1 mode, they only actually had one dancer compete at regionals last year. And he was insane. He was actually insane. And it was so entertaining to watch.
It would be great. And I'm just giving it to a... Maybe reach out to some of the other people for your invite, and then you go back to their invite. That's just...
Yeah, and I think, you know, where I'm learning, you know, again, it's a learning curve. We have to have so many competitions.
Yes.
But once we start to travel over a certain distance, we have to get a bus that is three times the money, and I still have a small team that I could fit on a van. So where do we want to... That's why we're taking that stretch with Marion. I want us to be exposed to new teams. And next year, it sounds like some of the rules, like the whole thing is going to change. So I don't really know what that means for our team or our division.
Well, fundraising-wise, do you have to do a lot of it?
Yeah, we have to do all of it. Yes. So, cheer did a very good job. Our, the cheer coaches, that is something that they're really strong in.
And what are some of the things you're trying to do?
We do faster horses, which is a big one.
Oh, boy.
I just recently heard of one of our teams that does Cedar Point.
Yeah.
Mud Hen Games. Yeah. We are looking for a lot of different opportunities. We have some of the same teams going after the same fundraising, and then eventually it gets diluted.
It does.
So we're looking for some new opportunities. I would like for us to start moving more north for some of our fundraising, maybe some Piston Tiger opportunities.
Sure.
We've got some connections there, but a lot of my dancers live up there, and it's easier
and
for them in the summer.
Easier.
Let me hop right over, and you know what I mean? That. So we're looking towards that. But again, being new, I really don't know where to look or who to ask at. So I'm kind of putting the feelers out there as of right now.
It's hard.
Yes.
Because when you go to, you know, what I hear, I've never been there, you know, you work your tails off.
Very much
and,
so.
But you do make good money. And what I've heard, the problem is you could make a lot of money at U of M football games, but then they mirror our football games. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Because we've had some people go up there and make a ton of money, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
Yeah, I think right now, and we have to, you know, something I'm working on for, you know, budget-wise is each member needs to be doing individual fundraising so that they can have the specific gear. We spend a lot of money on getting the new clothes and having them do individual fundraising for those things, but still doing fundraising as a group for group things. So, you know, money is always going to be a problem in athletics. I don't have to tell you that. You've probably managed more budgets than anyone listening on the air right now. So, yeah, that's something that I'm new at and trying to figure that out and balance that and make the decisions that
we
don't.
When we're off the air, I will talk a little bit about, give you some ideas. But the main thing is that's one of the things that when you're going to be a coach, you didn't think you ever have to worry about fundraising.
Well, we did it when I was on the team.
Yes, but
you know, I was also
doing it as opposed to
thinking
about it.
Yes, scheduling it.
And making sure, you know.
Making sure they know how important it is, too.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
That's. You know, well, we can't do this because this is probably the first year. Did you guys go to Florida last year? We're not going to go this year because I don't feel comfortable with it in the budget, but I want to go again next year and I want it to be a consistent.
Right.
It's really great exposure for the girls, but we need to be able to make the money, and we're a small team.
Right.
So we have to work twice as hard as some of the larger teams, but we also don't cost as much.
Well, I'm going to back up here a little bit. We talked a little about injuries, and, you know, what are the common things that happen to a dance team member? I would assume it's ankle or calf or knees.
All of those.
All
yes.
Of those.
Kaya's in a boot right now.
Okay.
It is, and that is where it is our responsibility, my responsibility as a coach, and their responsibility to strengthen those small things that we use a lot. We use a lot of our ankles. Basketball, when you guys are pivoting, you know, but we're dancing with tiny little fabric on our toes, so we don't have the strength on our ankles. But yeah, Achilles, pulling on those tendons, the knees, because when we're turning on our standing leg, that knee is, you know, driving into the ground.
Shoulders and backs. I know when it comes to, like, I've done a lot of acro in my career, and that's a lot of just keeping that back strong and shoulders. I've had some issues with my lower back and my shoulders, but we have great trainers at Siena who really take our injuries seriously as dancers, which is great because sometimes that kind of trails off in other places. So
they don't know how to treat a dancer.
Yes, or they don't know how to treat a dancer.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
Being, you know, I was actually just with Justin in the training room today, heating my ankle and strengthening it. And I've had my back cupped several times, shoulder, stem, all of it. So it's really nice to have that support as well.
Athletic training is very, very important to you, then.
Being treated, yes, 100%. Because I've had so many times where I've gone to doctors or school nurses or anything, or our school athletic trainer in high school, where they were like, "Are you sure you're injured? It's your dancer." And I'm like, I'm sure.
And then I think right now for our season, because everything that we're working on is so fine-tuned and meticulous that if we lose a dancer in that, we have to rearrange almost everything that we do. If there's a lift in there, we might have to pull. And I've had dancers that are sick. I've had, I mean, she just got over being sick. I had one with pneumonia. So then they're not practicing. So we're not doing our, you know, our formations full out. And so, and then we're adding another dancer in January. She's now eligible. And so that's our formations are going to change as soon as we get back. So it's a lot of work. We have to stay healthy.
Yeah, really.
I have to stay healthy just so I can coach them.
I hear you. I'm tired out already.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing, Pat, that's amazing, and, you know, gosh, you know, there's so much to do, but if you, on the 26th, it would be worth you going over watching the athleticism that you see on the court. It's just amazing to me. I was shocked.
And this is the Halo Classic.
Yes. This is our
Cheer is right after us, too, so you're the best of both worlds.
And it is the attendance, the interest, the spirit is contagious. And plus, as AD, I always ate well that day because I hung around the judges. I said that.
I see it on the schedule here, but there's no time. You probably don't have a time yet for that.
So we have a rough estimate. Where dance will be projected to begin around 9:30, and then cheer will start at 1. So we'll be done probably around noon, so that they can set up for theirs.
Okay.
And I think I speak to what Fred said. It's a lot of endurance because it's a 2-minute 14 routine. It is so much from the time that music starts until the time that music ends, and what, you know, where you put your style is important too, because jazz doesn't, I'm not going to say it doesn't take as much energy, but palm is probably the most energetic section of the routine. So where do you put that? You know, do you put that in the middle so that the girls have a break towards the end? And they have to go from that start to finish, and they have to be powerful for every single second of it, and they have to end strong. And if your turn sequence is at the end, you're not going to have the energy. I mean, it's a lot for them, and that's what we're working on right now, is the endurance and getting to the point where we can do our routine full out several times and still be able to stand and breathe after it's done.
So the routine is 2 minutes.
2 minutes and 14 seconds.
Okay, so that's it, for everybody.
No more than I think the max that a routine can be is 2 minutes and I want to say 31 seconds, but don't quote me on that.
Okay.
I'm still learning a lot about the rules.
Did I remember this correctly? I think at some of the big events you guys, that you guys would compete one round and then a second round.
That was regionals.
Oh, that's
what
that's
it was. A prelim.
Yep, prelim.
Regionals, we compete twice. Yeah.
Yep, because Coach Sword or Heath would host regionals almost every year. But she was also the chair of NAIA.
Well, and I remembered that, you know, and then I heard it.
Yeah.
Because, boy, the one time, that's a whole ton of pressure, you know. Just
and then at WAC, you also do all conference. So you,
yeah, then you have
personally,
those.
You dance three times because you do your routine twice and then the conference tryout afterwards.
And then you find out either that day, if you got first, you automatic bid to nationals, or you find out 2 days later, if we go to nationals.
Yeah.
They're sacrificing their spring break because our conference is on the 7th, so we don't get a spring
nationals
break.
This year?
It's at Eastern.
Oh,
so
yeah, I heard that.
Local.
Yeah.
Yep.
Close by.
We're hoping to be there.
Yeah.
Well, that's
to compete,
great.
Not just to watch.
That's right.
Yeah. That's wonderful. So, I'm excited already about the Halo Classic on the 26th of January.
Yes.
That's a Sunday.
It's a Sunday, yes. Dance is in the morning, cheers in the afternoon.
And so how many teams will be there?
We don't know yet.
Yep.
We invite all of them. I would love to have 3 or 4 for dance.
Mm-hmm.
Cheer, they usually get around 4 or 5. There are a lot more cheer teams in the conference than dance.
Okay.
So theirs is usually a little bit fuller.
All right.
Yep.
Sounds like a great time, and
I love it. This might be my first time I'm actually stressed more though.
Yeah.
Want to wish you and your team the best of luck this coming season.
Thank you.
It's been great having you in here. We've been talking with head coach Nikki Brown from the competitive dance team, and Captain Kaya Robinson. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
All right, and Fred, we'll be seeing you back here maybe next week at the same time here.
Hey, same time, same place, Patrick.
All right, we're looking forward to it. A reminder coming up here on the Cave. We'll have AC All Access coming up with Ian Wendt here in just a couple of minutes. And, of course, tonight it's Monday Night Football right here on 96.5 The Cave as the Cincinnati Bengals take on the Dallas Cowboys. Stay tuned for that right here on 96.5 The Cave. For Fred Smith, Pat Hayes saying, have yourselves a great evening.